gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Over there in North Korea.
Yeah, it's not sounding good.
We're so self-involved in L.A. We're like, can it hit L.A.? What's the delay with this missile defense shield? Let's go.
Kim Jong-un threatened to hit Austin, Texas.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Which was a little...
That's weird.
Random.
Why Austin?
Austin, I don't like music.
I don't like...
I don't like
that
guitar.
Music fan. Okay.
All right.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
Right.
And they have both in Austin.
Right. Okay, so lots to go on the big show today. Carlos L's Rocking Comedian Extraordinaire, live in studio with us, hour number three. He will do Faraway Dog, as I was saying to Jackie.
He will.
My favorite.
Yes.
Sound effect that he does. Speaking of Faraway Dogs, should I tell you my whole rescue dog drama?
Do we want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay.
Rescue dog drama? What?
Currently, there is rescue dog at my house and the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Oh, really?
Who has been making inappropriate Korean restaurant jokes about the dog, which I do not appreciate. What are you looking at?
Okay, it's breakfast. I'm
doing work here.
Well, pay attention. All right. give me some dog drama music. Jim, this is the discussion we always have, and that is that people are... and dogs are perfect in every way. And there's a reason why it's God spelled backwards. No, so I was leaving work here. What
so
was it?
Dogs are the Antichrist is what you're saying. It's spelled backwards.
No.
This is
no,
dog
that's
music.
Not what I meant. Dogs are perfect. Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so I was driving out of work here 2 days ago, and there's this little black, adorable little black dog, little Australian Shepherd mix.
Good eye.
Thanks. Running around in traffic, and so I saved her. I took her to a vet. They wanded her, you know, there was a microchip.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a number, so I called the woman. She says, oh, we gave her away on Craigslist like a week or so ago because she doesn't get along with our older dog. She's adorable, though. Whatever, so... She didn't have the person's number. Then she got the number. She called the guy, and the guy's... She just wanted to see if he did it on purpose. And she's like, oh, how is Indy? And he's like, oh, she's doing great.
Oh, wow.
Hole, right?
No.
Oh, and how's she going to go out with your other dog? Oh, great.
Well, he probably just didn't want to tell her.
Right, and so then I call him. This is my whole day yesterday. I was on CNN, but this is the rest of my day.
Right.
So I call him, and he's like, oh, I just didn't want to tell her. I gave her to a friend of mine.
Oh.
And he gives me another guy's number, so I call that guy, and you can't leave a message. And I'm like, this whole thing is fishy, and everybody's a hole, except for Indy, who is perfect in every way. And it was at my house now.
So you have three dogs.
One of which likes to bite my ankles while I'm walking downstairs with coffee.
There's that.
Which may end in disaster. But anyway, no, so I'm trying to find her a home. I have a friend coming today that may adopt her and whatever. But she's adorable.
As adorable as Dexter Von Frisch?
Well, who's as adorable as that? Except for...
Carl.
Carl. Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
Wow. Was that clunky?
Was you getting me back on track?
Dexter
needs a girlfriend!
That was a really good segue.
Thank you, Carl.
Dexter needs a good Dexter in Indy. What do you think?
Well, he's been clipped, so I think that's a good idea.
A platonic girlfriend. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think he's completely gay.
Although you do dress him in a fabulous array of outfits, I must say.
I do, and he also likes inanimate objects, so if he's cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, you know, it can be polyamorous.
If she just lays there and plays dead, I guess that would be considered...
Act like a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
How is her couch impression?
I'll have her work on it.
Okay.
So, Carl, you bring our attention to many stories which we would not otherwise see. Not a story from The Onion. Meth-dealing Catholic priest who owned porn shop plans to confess guilt.
Yeah, that's a real story.
Wow. Right.
What happened?
This priest... Like they do.
you do.
Got hooked on methamphetamine, bought a porn shop, and was arrested for being the central figure in a giant meth ring, I believe out of Connecticut, where he was bringing in like $300,000 a month.
And meanwhile, the church hierarchy is like, oh, it doesn't involve altar boys, thank God.
Yeah, I know. Okay. They're like, that's
fine.
He's like, they're like adult consensual behavior? Wow. Well, exactly. Father.
Bless me,
Father. What an original sin.
That is original for the Catholic Church. That's wow. Okay. Uruguay also bring our attention to passes marriage equality. TikTok USA, TikTok.
That's right.
Say.
It's the fourth country in Latin America.
Wow.
And, you know, pretty soon we are going to be surrounded. And hopefully this kind of movement will, you know, impact the way that the Supreme Court looks at the issue.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, it just the inevitability factor has a lot to do with the way that the mood of the country is. You know, when people feel like everybody else around them supports marriage equality, they may not be as comfortable with it, but they're more likely to say, okay, fine.
Yeah, I was, you know, Carl, we talked about this obviously last week, from your fancy perch right across from the Supreme Court there in D.C.
Right, yes.
Your fancy digs there at Bullfight Strategies. But, but you know, it was a great article about just the legal chaos it's going to create if they rule the way people are thinking, where they strike down DOMA, but they rule narrowly on Prop 8. I mean, it really is going to create this patchwork of just legal chaos, right?
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the legal chaos is going to have to be straightened out, which means that, you know, you've got good precedent to go out there and file more lawsuits. You know, the gay couple in Mississippi who wants their marriage recognized from New York is going to have good grounds to file a lawsuit. Places like New Mexico, I think that you're going to see a lot of interesting legal work being filed.
Yeah.
And we'll be at a point where you look at all these senators, Republican and Democratic, that have come out for marriage equality over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, dominoes,
and,
right?
Wow.
A bunch of gay marriage dominoes.
So shocked that some of these folks, like Claire McCaskill, for example, from conservative Missouri, would come out for marriage equality. Remember, she filled John Ashcroft's seat in the Senate.
Yeah.
There's a reason. I mean, she was reelected last year, and in 6 years, do people really think that marriage equality is going to stall out this year and that less people are going to be supportive of it in 6 years than they are today? I mean, this issue will be so so much of a far-gone conclusion in 6 years' time.
Yeah.
If 60% of Americans are supporting marriage equality today, and that number was only at about, you know, 48% 6 years ago?
Yeah.
How many are going to support it in 6 years? In 2018, for crying out loud.
You say of the seven Senate Dems who've not yet backed marriage equality, you'd peg South Dakota's Johnson, Florida's Nelson as the next most likely to do the right thing?
Yeah. Johnson, because he's retiring. I don't think I would ever put a senator from South Dakota right on that list. It's a conservative state, but since he's retiring, he's got the freedom to do what's right. And then Nelson, he's the only Democratic senator who does not represent a conservative state. It's a state with a very large LGBT population, and it's a state that has a moderate view on social issues. It's the other states are all mostly southern or extremely conservative and rural. So,
yeah, they have gays there too, though. There's
there's
the occasional farm gay.
You shouldn't have to move to your next the big city like Des Moines.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
You say you want to change your position on marriage equality, a senator's guide to making the switch. Is that a tutorial by political strategist Carl Frisch?
It's a tutorial, and it kind of lays out the different reasons that one gives when they come out for marriage equality. You know, I've pondered the issue, I've prayed about it. You know, after consultation with my pastor on my faith, that you still have respect for the people who disagree with you. Because there are a few of those conservative senators there that should be able to do the right thing.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading a piece in the Daily Beast that conflates guns and gay marriage with the campaign over the real fight begins. We've arrived at an odd political moment. They write the public discussion on both guns and same-sex marriage has gotten uglier since the campaign ended. I mean, did you ever think you'd see a day where there's more consensus on gay marriage than there is on guns? I mean, I'm a little bit shocked and disgusted. Really? I mean, what's happening on guns?
Well,
I mean, they're both emotional, complex debates, I think, is the point, that don't necessarily always fall on partisan lines, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, and it's just strange to think that were likely to move forward on LGBT. I mean, I remember, this is going to make me sound very young to some people and very old to others, but 1996, when I was graduating from high school, we weren't even talking about marriage equality.
Right.
It wasn't even something that we were, it wasn't on the menu of options
and
that we were considering.
And we had an assault weapons ban, right?
Right. It was a couple years, I think it was 3 years old at that point. It was doing its job. We had an assault weapons ban that included some clips. You know, the gun show loophole was just becoming a problem. We weren't talking about pretty much any LGBT issue. There was no Ellen on television. There was no Glee or, you know, Wilford Brimley. I guess he's not a very big gay figure, but, yeah. No, you know, he's an idol of
That's
some.
It's the right thing to do, gay marriage.
Yeah. especially if you've got diabetes and you want to have the ability to pass on to your survivors.
That's right.
The
diabetes.
But yeah, I mean, and that's just in the last, you know, 16, 17 years that this progress has been made.
Yep.
And I can only imagine what some people feel about these issues that aren't immediately impacted by them.
Well, I mean, I think the thing that to me is the most astounding is that marriage equality doesn't even seem controversial anymore. Yeah. I mean, in this kind of time.
Well, and you know what? The gun debate largely is not controversial anymore. It's just a matter of how much power the old lobby has.
Right. That's the thing, is the huge disconnect in it with Congress. I mean, the fact that we may be at a point, Carl, where we can't even get a meaningful background check. Not even, that was like used to be the low-hanging fruit, right?
90% in some polls, 70% in most polls support universal background checks. They believe already wrongly that there are criminal statutes against, you know, selling guns to criminals, you know, personal sales to criminals.
Yep.
Trafficking laws they believe exist. They don't. You know, they believe that the gun show loophole and the personal sales loophole should be closed. And then, yeah, of course, the assault weapons ban is a little bit more dicey in terms of public opinion. You know, it's only 2/3 of the American people support that.
Yeah, I know.
But you're talking about, at the very least, if they were to pass legislation that said every gun purchase will be screened, the American people would be happy with it. 70 to 90% of them. You don't have issues that are 70 to 90% popular anymore in this country.
Yeah.
But the lobby is so strong. And I want to remind people, the reason that they're strong is not because of their money or their power. It's because, unlike a lot of other issue area groups, NRA folk, the quote-unquote gun nut, they will vote for or against somebody because of the way that they, you know, voted on NRA's issues. There are not a lot of people on the other side of the aisle that will vote against somebody for not doing the right thing on guns.
Yeah.
Because it's not the number one issue of importance to the vast majority of Americans.
I wish we could get
maybe that will change.
Yeah, I hope so. That's
year.
What I'm hoping, that we can, you know, as with the, you know, momentum on marriage equality, that we can get there on guns. It really is just stunning to me, I guess. All right.
Unfortunately, maybe we'll have to get there when everybody knows somebody who's been impacted by gun violence in the same way that everybody knows somebody who's gay.
Yep.
And, you know, if the right wing has their way, maybe that's the direction we're going.
Yep. All right. I am packing up Indy with her little overnight bag to go meet Dexter.
All right.
Okay.
He's very happy.
Good.
He's very excited.
Good. All right, honey. Talk to you next week. Love you.
Have a good one.
There he goes. That's our Indy's new daddy. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie. Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, great. Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up.
Yep.
Top of the hour.
Yep.
Cordell in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cordell.
good morning, everybody. It's the official screenwriter at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
You know, I love you guys to death. You know, you guys have kept me sane all throughout the difficult year I had last year. But I got to take you to task for Ro Flair Mary. I wasn't able to watch the live show yesterday, so I DVR'd it. And I got to watch all 3 hours last night before going to bed.
Good boy. I think that's wise.
And, you know,
and then suddenly, like a bad nightmare, there she appeared, Ro Flair Mary.
She definitely appeared, and I'm starting to notice a theme with her every time she calls in.
Just you now, mean a subtle strain of racism?
You think? Now, Stephanie, I've learned some things about myself recently since coming home. Now, I am black, but also I found out my great-great-grandfather was a white man and my great-grandmother was an Indian. But when people like Mary see me, they don't see the white part of me or they don't see the Indian part of me. They see the black part of me, and they automatically assume that we're all bad. What I really would like people like Mary to do is how about going to, like, maybe an African-American church? Where
oh, dear God, there. Really?
Yeah, that'll happen.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, instead of always assuming that all of us black men are bad, try spending some time with us, keeping an open mind.
I think she probably, you know, drives through, like, you know, Iowa to avoid large gatherings of black people. That's probably...
I wouldn't put it past her, but, you know, a lot of us are really kind of getting upset at having to be exposed to her constantly.
I know. We've tried to cut back. I probably should quit entirely. You're right.
Yeah, I thought we had quit entirely.
But I know. I thought we had.
We kind of put a moratorium on her for a little bit,
yes.
But that ended.
Yes, she slipped through.
I love you guys. Just keep up the good work. Keep me sane this year. And maybe, I don't know, I'm hoping to go to your West Coast show, but we'll have to see what
All right. All right, baby. Love you.
Love you.
All right, sorry.
What do you mean
apologize.
She slipped through? You asked me for the jingle during the break.
I'm going to blame Travis because he put her on. I mean, I couldn't help myself. I need to get in a program.
Apparently.
I need to find a higher power.
Through.
I couldn't help it. I saw Ro Flair Mary.
Did not slip through.
If she comes on again, we may need to get a call from the FCC.
There was a brief magical moment of bonding over a fiduce, her handsome romantic Scotty. There was a moment of humanity there, wasn't there?
Yeah, but
I said,
then
he's handsome. She's like, yes, he is handsome. And suddenly she was my friend.
That's not humanity. That's emphysema.
Yeah.
Although Sean Hannity and I have bonded over dogs,
well,
too.
So that's true.
I don't know what it is.
Hitler liked dogs.
Okay. Whew, that was early for a Hitler reference. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Pardon me, sir. May I interest you in a glass of Chardonnay and a trip down crazy lane?
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Elena in Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Elena.
Mobile.
Mobile. Mobile.
Hello.
Hello, Elena.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay. My first thing is this. First, I'd like to know how do you guys feel about GLAAD honoring Bill Clinton? Because it's not going well with the African American community. Period.
Because he's getting an award from GLAAD?
Yes,
African. The entire black community is not happy with that?
I didn't say the entire.
You said the black community.
The African American community.
I'll
put it like this: a large swath.
Okay.
Okay.
Why? Of the African American community, because we feel he doesn't deserve it. President Obama is the one who put his presidency out there for the LGBT community.
Oh, I see what your point is.
So what are they honoring him for? DAT, DOMA, what the robocalls? I mean, what?
Yeah. Well, I see what you're saying, but I. Let's not fight. We're all pretty.
He did quite a bit for the gay community.
Yeah, I mean,
Didn't he have, like, the first lesbian in his cabinet or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we were in a really different time now. Yeah. We just were. Somebody explained that to me, in fact, on the reason he did. To avoid something worse, frankly, yeah. on gay rights. And yeah. so, at any rate.
He did it to avoid a constitutional amendment.
Yes, thank you. All right. I was mentioning to Carl about this piece in the Daily Beast. It is interesting. Those two issues, the guns and gay marriage, they write two long-running debates now roiling the country with renewed energy, gun control and gay marriage. One might argue the two are wildly different discussions, though mandatory background checks and waiting periods for marriage, straight or gay, might be worth considering.
Yeah.
Now, there's a good idea. but I think the conversations, each demanding thoughtful discussion and mutual respect, but instead generating desperate anger and almost willful contempt, inform each other and together tell us more about ourselves than we like to realize. And it's interesting. Carl and I were saying, like, who would have ever thought we'd be so much farther ahead on marriage equality than on guns? We've gone, like, they've crisscrossed. They've gone opposite directions from, like, as he was saying, when
guns don't kill people, gays kill people.
Exactly. Remember, that's the way, some of the good old days. And now the president talking about gun control yesterday.
There doesn't have to be a conflict between protecting our citizens and protecting our Second Amendment rights. I've got stacks of letters in my office from proud gun owners, whether they're for sport or protection or collection, who tell me how deeply they cherish their rights, don't want them infringed upon, but they still want us to do something to stop the epidemic of gun violence.
Yeah, this story's going to make you mad.
Uh-oh.
This is just, I have to say, after Newtown really is kind of stunning to me. Key provision of gun bill could be stripped after NRA opposition. A central part of the Senate's gun control package in danger of being gutted as the NRA voices opposition. Increased penalties on straw purchases of guns sailed through the Senate judiciary looked like a safe bet to win Senate approval. I was saying to Carl, that used to be low-hanging fruit, yeah. even for... including the expanded background checks to remain a goal for gun control supporters, it ran into trouble. Now the straw purchasing bill could be in danger because of NRA demands to change the language so law enforcement officials would have to prove that a straw purchaser intended to commit a crime or furthered the commission of a crime by buying a gun for someone else. I mean, this is like taking the teeth out of the background check, basically. The bill as written would penalize anyone who purchases a gun for someone prohibited from owning it or for someone intending to use it for a crime. The NRA argues this language could penalize people unfairly. Carolyn McCarthy said reports about the draft NRA proposal suggest it would water down even current law, making it harder, not easier, for law enforcement officials to keep guns out of the hands of criminals by increasing the threshold for convicting straw purchasers. I mean, that was at least the one thing we thought we were going to get an actual background check and be able to, you know, close this loophole. Yeah. And anyway, the president again. Yesterday.
There's no reason we can't do this unless politics is getting in the way.
You think? Yeah, and media has a good piece on this. Lobby is as lobby does. Why pressuring the NRA to back gun control will never work. Mm. And this is the point you make all the time, Jim, because they exist to sell guns.
Right.
Their answer is always going to be more guns. Right, like this latest report. This is what Mediaite says. A report released today from a task force backed by the NRA has, surprise, surprise, found that more guns in schools makes them safer in the event a crazed gunman breaks in. The NRA's refusal to back gun proposals should not be a surprise to anyone. No lobby wants restrictions on its products.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people don't get. They exist to sell guns.
Exactly.
Period. Being outraged at the NRA for insisting on less gun restrictions is like being outraged at the beef lobby for arguing you ought to be eating more meat. Once you realize the NRA is just hawking a product, then a lot of what they do makes more sense. But not why, you know, Congress is so scared of them still. That's what doesn't make sense. And they say, again, I'm not talking about the Surah Prism of what's right and wrong, but just what the function of a lobby is.
Mm-hmm.
But why, when you're there, you know, the politicians are looking at the same polls we are, they're still so scared about the NRA. I don't know. Sue in Rockville on this very same subject. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank God that I had the podcast, you know, 495 Gling, because Barbies finally went back to school and I'm back live. Listen, I have a new word I'm going to ask you to use, because listening to yesterday's show, I'm tired of even legitimizing these gun nuts, these people like Road Flare Mary. They're not just idiots, they're fidiots, and you know what that F stands for. And when we allow them to, we talk about what a Louis Gohmert or a Ben Carson or anything when Wayne La F says, all we're doing is giving credence, like we're moving the conversation to the right. They're idiots.
Yeah.
Because, after all, let's think logically. If those precious children had been held hostage by that nutcase, they're saying the answer is more guns. Because, you know, that's what the cops teach in hostage negotiation.
Yeah.
The first thing a negotiator does, go in blaring and, you know, blast away and
so
collateral damage be
right.
damned.
And their talking points are things that are specifically written in the bill. No national gun registry, all the things they're fear-mongering about. I mean, it's ridiculous.
They're fidiots. It's like marriage equality issues. We won. It's over.
Yeah.
It's simply over. It's only a question of when people, it's like every argument is not worth even discussing. When you have people like that idiot in Georgia saying it's because straight people match straight people for tax benefits, I don't need to waste my time. When
right.
transvaginal Bob and Ken Cuccinelli rear their ugly, hate women, they're fidiots. Let's
right.
just use the word fidiot
sure.
and stop talking about it.
All right. I'm glad you've got that out of your system now.
Thank you so
All
much.
Right. All right, then. She so had that word ready to go. And
she had some agita. And she no longer
some
does.
Some focus.
Yes.
Exactly. Let's see. Victor in Miami is pro Rose Flair Mary. Hello, Victor.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, Mooks. How's it going?
Hi. Welcome.
Great. I want to go back to that young guy, a guy called earlier about Rose Flair Mary or whatever. He was complaining that
Mary.
You guys should put
Mary.
I don't know her name. Whatever her name is. But my comment is that he should not be afraid. In fact, you're doing us a service. The same way people listen to Fox News tells what's going on. It's a nauseating job, but someone has to do it. Because the minute we take our eyes off of people like her,
yeah.
we forget that they truly, really are around us everywhere.
Well, when people accuse us, you don't have the opposition on us. Yes, we do. Right when callers go to the front of the line.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, you guys do us a service. It's
yeah.
like my friend told me, Shiro Fox News, I can't watch it. It makes me sick. But he watches it to tell me. And you guys do the same
That's
thing.
Right.
You watch, you listen to what they're doing, and you take it for the team and get sick for us. And then we
That's
have
exactly
a huge
right.
laugh and... So please continue.
I take the acid reflux bullet for you, and I'm happy to do it. But watch so you don't have to.
Yeah, I won't be watching. I'll leave the room next time she calls.
Okay.
Okay.
Aww.
Mike,
because I want to preserve your FCC license.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's right. You didn't get to hear the phone message on my machine that Jim left regarding Rosemary.
No, I didn't.
It was the most, I think in terms of quantity and quality of the C word, just the use of. It was spectacular.
Oh, dear.
Mike in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Chris,
welcome.
Jim, how you doing this morning?
Hi, good.
Good. Listen, I just wanted to point out, I don't hear this too often. You know, most of the gun deaths in the United States, I believe, take place in low-income or middle-class communities, public schools, things of that nature. But the folks, like our congressmen and the other guys involved, the ones that can actually influence or implement any kind of gun control, they live in wealthy communities, and I don't think they really feel the impact.
Well, I mean, but look at in Connecticut what they just got done. Connecticut passed a bipartisan package of gun laws that will expand the state's existing assault weapons ban, impose limits on the size of magazines, require universal background checks in the state. That obviously was just scarred by the worst, school shooting in history. And it's like you think, why? And I get it. People will go, it's a different kind of state. But why? Why can't we? They got it done in a bipartisan way. Why can't we do that nationally?
Exactly. And one more thing, Steph. I have a very special woman sitting next to me that would like to make a few comments. I have with me Miss Sarah Palin. Sarah?
All right. Okay, I get it. All right, that was a little listen to comedy for us. With sound effects. All right. Come on. Everybody gets a T-Bowl trophy here.
Now
Everyone can play.
I have agita.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Ooh, baby, ooh,
next hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste. Nothing works faster and lasts longer, knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste, available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Jim in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First of all, why don't you guys just admit you're not going to win? You lost. There will be no semi-automatic firearms ban. And the reason is because in 1994, Bill Clinton became a lame duck president after the Republicans took over Congress for this very issue.
They took over Congress because of this very issue?
Yeah. Even Clinton admitted that in 1994, because of the assault weapons ban, the GOP took over Congress. And after that, for the last 6 years of his presidency,
first of all,
Clinton
Jim,
was a lame duck.
I think I have admitted defeat on this issue, but I don't, I'm not happy about it. And I don't think, you know, I don't think the vast majority of the American people, according to the polls, are happy about it.
I don't think the polls adequately reflect.
Of course.
Coming out of
if you don't agree with the polls, then the polls are wrong. That's the way it always is.
Jim, since we can't say it enough. Since the ban has expired, it has tripled assault weapons assaults in the United States. I mean, there's
300 people were killed by rifles of all kinds last year. You're more likely to be killed by fists and feet, blunt objects, or stabbing than you are by a rifle.
What was the last thing?
You know that.
Fists or feet.
What's that?
Oh, I'm more likely to be killed by feet?
Fists or feet, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a criminal law attorney. Okay.
I see more people in
Chicago. How many cases have you represented where someone killed someone with their feet?
Oh, I've represented a lot. A lot of beating
Give us one example of
how
that happened.
We are a country of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Mostly domestics.
They killed them with their feet?
Really?
No, not necessarily.
We are a nation of dojos.
Sister feet.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not disputing that people are killed with fists all the time, but not as many as guns.
Well, not as efficient.
You said assault weapons. How many people are killed by assault weapons in the United States?
Triple since the ban expired.
Since the ban expired.
I have a headache
in
my eye.
Gun deaths tripled. After the
assault weapons ban expired.
I'm sure that's just a coincidence. They were probably just using their feet.
If you have courage, you go up and punch someone. If you're kind of a coward, you shoot them from afar.
Yeah, with a 100-round clip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure with our obesity epidemic, there's not that many
people.
Hey,
slow down. I can kill someone
with their feet.
Let me catch my breath, and then I'm going to kick you to death.
I mean, I'm 50 and I like to kick, but then I fall over. And I'm pretty fit, so I don't, you know. Or I get tripped by my rescue dog.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mike and Madison.
Or bitten on the ankle carrying coffee down your stairs.
That's so cute. Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I'd like to make a question. I got a question / comment. I'm a conservative, but yet I'm a conservative in what I believe is a conservatism.
Okay.
I believe in pro-choice, pro-guns, pro-gay. My interpretation of a conservative to me is I respect the law of the land.
So you love God, guns and gays.
Pardon me?
You love God, guns and gays.
Yeah. Well, I'm more of an agnostic, but I mean, I do believe that I don't have any say in what a person does or doesn't do in the bedroom.
I got it. But Mike, what does it mean to you when you say I'm pro guns?
I am a gun owner, and I do come from the gun culture. I am a collector of firearms, but yet I'm a responsible, and like you hear so many times, that I'm a responsible gun owner.
But do you not think there should be any restriction on guns so, let's say, criminals or the mentally ill can't get a hold of them so easily?
Sure. I don't have an issue with that. But my main issue, the reason I'm really calling is my the world is going at going real fast. My concern, my issue is, I respect Obama for the fact that only that he is our president. Did I vote for him? No. But I still have to respect the man, and I have to respect the office he holds. Right. However, the issue that I'm having, and I really need to have an answer from a leaning left party, because you ain't going to get it from the right party, is the world is going down the tube very fast. Now, as everything's happening in Korea, everything's happening in the Middle East, but yet it seems like our president is out campaigning and going to states, and he's fighting gun control, he's fighting this,
Right, but what's happening in North Korea and the Middle East is not new.
Right, and that's being taken care of.
Right, well, I understand that. But
you can do more than one thing at once, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So we shouldn't talk about gun violence because there's other stuff going on?
Right. We should give every. If you're going to follow the NRA logic, you need to give everybody the exact same amount of nukes.
Exactly.
That's the only answer, is more nukes.
More nukes.
We need to
carry everyone to be safe.
Everybody needs to carry their own cannon.
Right. Chuck Hagel, Defense Secretary on North Korea.
They have nuclear capacity now. They have missile delivery capacity now. And so as they have ratcheted up their bellicose dangerous rhetoric and some of the actions they've taken over the last few weeks present a real and clear danger and threat to the interests, certainly, of our allies, starting with South Korea and Japan, and also the threats that the North Koreans have leveled directly at the United States regarding our base in Guam, threatened Hawaii, threatened the west coast of the United States.
And Austin, Texas.
And Austin.
I don't think he knows where Austin is.
Kim Jong-un or Chuck Hagel?
No, he does.
Okay,
no.
Yeah.
He's not a U.S. American with a map.
No.
Well, what?
That was random.
I think he's thinking of Acton.
Acton, California?
Yeah, he can hit Acton.
I was like when Iran wanted to sue Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me get the lawyer for Hollywood on the line.
Okay. Where's Hollywood's lawyer? I need to talk to Hollywood's lawyer.
There's only one. Hello? Hollywood's lawyer. Can we help you? Yep, we're responsible for Argo. What are you going to do about it? Okay, John Kerry about North Korea.
The last thing the world needs is more nuclear nations.
Uh-huh. Let's go to John in Syracuse. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
First time caller.
Oh, I'll be gentle.
Hello.
Go.
Yeah. What I want to talk about is I'm noticing, I mean, we're all so focused on the Senate and what they're doing about gun legislation, but I don't see any, you know, what I'm hearing from the House is we're not going to touch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what's depressing, is we're having trouble even getting anything through the Senate, and then once it gets to the House, forget it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, why are we even going to attempt to keep doing it when it's like not going to do anything? But I love listening to your show, and now I'm going to go off the corner and start practicing my kicking because apparently it's
more effective than guns.
Yes. So just like they tell you to punch a shark in the nose. That's if someone has a gun. All you need to do is kick them
from 30 feet away.
Right. Sure. Exactly.
Yeah. Like they do in Crouching Tiger, Hidden. Whatchamacallit.
Right, exactly.
That's a great movie.
Yes, yeah. Daryl in Michigan. Hi, Daryl. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Steph. Hey, Mooks. I just wanted to say no one kills Americans more or better than Americans.
Yes, we're number one.
Yes, America. Woo-hoo. Yeah.
I love it when national security issues are brought up about North Korea, and yet millions of people have been killed by guns in this country.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go back far enough. Anyway,
I mean, and look what the Republicans are doing to our own economy. I mean, terrorists couldn't dream up this stuff.
Yeah.
The sequester and all of that stuff. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Much more as we continue. Carlos Lall's Rocky live in studio. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Jim, you want to do a correction, which I can't believe you've ever been wrong about anything.
Well, the other day I incorrectly stated that there were no German-Americans detained during World War II, as opposed to the Japanese, who definitely were. That turns out is not correct. In the U.S., there were 1,237,000 persons of German birth in 1940, 5 million persons with both parents in Germany, 6 million with at least one parent in Germany. The size and resulting political and economical potential of German Americans spared them from sharing the experiences of Japanese Americans, who as a group were expelled and detained. Rather, Germans and German Americans in the U.S. were detained and evicted from coastal areas on an individual basis. Expulsion from the east or west coast areas for reasons of military security were considered by the War Department, but not executed.
Right.
So the point is, there were Germans detained, but a fraction of the compared to the Japanese who were detained, who were detained simply for being of Japanese descent,
exactly,
not because they were spying.
Thank you for that. God, thank God, Chris.
Woo!
I probably already made Newsbusters for calling Mark Sanford a douchebag yesterday on CNN.
Well, he's kind of a douchebag.
Thank God,
I thought you couldn't say douchebag. I'll bet you Jackie Schechner never said the word douchebag to Wolf Blitzer.
Sure. Probably not.
We'll have to leave the douchebag there.
Or Jack Cafferty.
Imagine reading news at 2.
Jack would have liked it, I think.
And burns the lights. The only one who didn't fail.
Here we go.
And got it right was Jackie Schechner. So happy it's Schechner.
Aren't we all so happy it's Schechner? Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
I'm guessing.
And that band was actually Mitch McConnell's favorite band, The Turtles.
The Turtles.
The Turtles.
Yes,
okay, thank you for that, Jim. So many corrections, so little time. Hello, Jackie Schechner. I'm guessing that he was correct. You never called Wolf Blitzer a douchebag.
I didn't have reason to.
I have those moments on, you know, regular TV where I'm like, is this a little over the line? And then as I'm told later, just a little bit.
Oh, someone actually told you that it was over the line? Oh.
Yes, I got a memo.
You got a note.
You were great tonight, as usual. Just one note.
Yeah, the things I say in my personal life are different than the things that I will say on here. There's very few differences. What you see is what you get, but
yes.
I'm a little more cautious with my language, mostly because I know my mother's watching.
Right, exactly. TV filter. Yeah, I could hear my mother go, oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
That being said, isn't Mark Sanford a douchebag? I mean, really?
He's got some issues.
No, because they were asking specifically about the women's vote, and because he's, you know, smoking hot Argentinian girlfriend. She was there at the when he won.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And she's beautiful, but I'm just saying it reminds women what a D-bag.
Yeah, I think my favorite Mark Sanford D-bag move would be asking his ex-wife to help run his campaign.
Right?
Yeah.
I said that on CNN, too. That's exactly it. Really?
Put you at the top of the list.
Oh, yes. And I
sorry about that infidelity running away to Argentinian thing, now marrying the woman. Would you like to work on my campaign?
How'd you like to help me?
How'd you like to be the flower girl?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
And he's a little tone deaf.
I said maybe he got some of the, you know, young male high five dude vote. But
there's a lot of that in South Carolina, though.
Yeah, dude, smoking.
Yeah. Right.
Let's send a message, South Carolina. How about that? Like, women.
You know what?
And
South Carolina is not the kind of state that would send a message.
But if there's a handful of self-respecting
it's
women,
not going to happen.
As Hal was saying yesterday, not only was he derelict in his duty to his family, he didn't show up on Father's Day when they were expecting him, you know. But he was derelict in his duty to his state. He was just like, dudes, you know, I'm going to be somewhere, just, you know, run the place. I mean, that was like, no, he didn't tell anybody, right?
Yeah, was that the year he won the Crappy Father of the Year Award?
Yes, okay. Yes.
I want to make sure that was the same year.
Here is Mark Sanford, who is apparently, Jackie, incredibly humbled now.
I'm incredibly humbled, incredibly gratified, incredibly thankful for this night, for what it means at many different levels.
What does it mean at many different levels?
Different levels of douchebaggery.
Yeah, exactly, that you've achieved many levels of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
That being said, his fiancée is smoking hot.
She is. Mm-hmm. I have to say that.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on that
But his wife was really pretty and really smart and, like, helped him his whole career, right? I mean, that's the other layer of debaggery, right?
Yeah, I can't justify it. I mean, it's just really difficult to say that anything this man has done at this point when it comes to his personal life is in the good taste column.
Not really. Yeah. All right, he's dead to me now. Let's talk about healthcare instead. I'm not talking about you anymore, Mark Sanford. So you mentioned this to us yesterday, but really interesting about the Affordable Care Act. The headline is most individual health insurance isn't good enough for Obamacare. Please, por qué? Explain.
Because there are crappy plans out there. If you go to buy health insurance in the individual market, you're going to find out that what you're getting is actually not very good. And usually the sad part is people don't find this out until they get sick and they need coverage.
Right.
So you get these plans that have a lot of, you know, they have a small what's the word I'm looking for? Your premium payments are small, but then your out-of-pocket expenses are really high, or your copays are high, or your prescription drug costs are high, and you don't find any of this out until you need that coverage the most.
Well, right. That's starting next year, people should understand this. Nearly all individual plans, both in and out of the exchanges, will be required to cover an array of essential services, including medication, maternity, mental health care. A lot of plans, like you were saying, they don't cover any of that now. And so while people need to be careful because they might go, oh, I'm paying a higher premium, but a lot of what's out there is crap now, right?
Right, and you have to really do a cost-benefit analysis. As you say, okay, I'm paying a higher premium, but all of these basics are covered, and that's what's important, is that the companies now don't have any regulations as to what they can and can't offer you. And it's very sneaky. It's something that I learned actually from Wendell Potter, the health insurance PR executive who has been very vocal about the deceit of the insurance industry. But one of the things that he taught us were these, like, the plans that the insurance companies sell, that they dress up to make it look like it's a good deal. And ultimately, you just pay a lot of money for something that doesn't do anything for you when you need it.
Right. I mean, this somebody from Kaiser is quoted in the story saying, now they buy a policy, and when they get sick, they may go broke anyway because the policy leaves them with so much to pay, noting that deductibles of $10,000 are not uncommon.
Yeah, that's the same problem with health savings accounts too. Like when they ask people to put money away to spend on their health care, or you know, you're not getting the coverage you need. I mean, the whole idea behind health insurance is it's like saving for a rainy day, right? You're buying something in case you need it, mm-hmm. So you assume it's going to be there when you need it. And if anybody you know is listening has gotten sick with an insurance plan, chances are at some point you've had to argue over getting something covered.
Right.
And something your doctor says you need. I mean, there's the irony, right? It's like, you know, who are you putting in control of your healthcare decisions? Your doctor says you need a procedure, and the insurance company says, I'm sorry, we're not going to pay for that.
Right. Well, somebody, the guy, you know, one of the authors of the report said this: they will offer a lot more financial protection, because I think that's a good point to say, what's the point of some of these plans when you're, as someone else, as I just quoted, said, you're going to go broke anyway. I mean, it's like not even having insurance.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, right, is that people go into bankruptcy, I think it's like every 30 seconds in the U.S. due to medical expenses, because they can't pay it. I mean, you end up getting these bills that are extraordinary. Get admitted to the hospital without sufficient coverage. You're in debt overnight.
Right, well, that's what, I mean, Kathleen Sebelius said this, right, last week we were talking about, she said a lot of these plans, unless you get hit by a bus, I mean, hardly anything is covered, right?
Right, right. And I mean, it gets expensive really quickly. I mean, that's part of the problem in our healthcare system in general, is we've got a cost problem overall, because there's a lot of people making money off of people getting sick. But the bills are extraordinary. I mean, I personally, one of the things that drove me into the healthcare fight was I had an emergency situation back in 2001, and I didn't have health insurance at the time because I was a freelancer. I just lost my job in the dot-com bust. I got sick, and overnight, I was $3,500 in debt, overnight, because I had no health insurance. And I thought, if I have trouble with this, imagine all of the people out there who don't know how to figure this out and don't have the resources. And
And thank God CNN isn't paying me, because I would have gotten fired yesterday for saying douchebag.
You're fired.
And then where would I be?
You have to say D-bag. I mean, you have to just limit yourself to the
moderate
medium.
A little bit. Feminine hygiene product.
Yeah. No, that doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it just does not.
D-bag would have worked fine.
Feminine hygiene product sounds like you should be skipping through a field.
Riding a horse. Yeah, or riding a horse on a beach.
Yeah.
That being said, Erin Burnett, I did get a big laugh. She burst out laughing. I always say ask forgiveness, not permission. Oh, I'm sorry. Too much. Sorry.
She was a great Phyllis Diller, apparently.
That's exactly what she sounded like. Hey, let's move on to the next level of debaggery. How about this Rutgers coach? Holy moly. Speaking of getting fired, what's his name? Mike Rice?
Yeah.
Did you see any of this video, Jackie?
You know what? From afar. I haven't taken a close look at it. I sort of started out of the corner of my eye.
It's hard to hear what he's saying, so I didn't get the audio of it. But,
right. He was fired after they decided they didn't go far enough. Because there's literally this tape of him, like, shoving, kicking, throwing balls at players, along with calling them the F word for gay man. Like,
and fairies. Called them fairies, too.
Yes, repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Here he is yesterday.
You can't say anything right now except I'm sorry, and there will never be a time where I'm going to use any of that as an excuse. Will there be any excuse?
I'm
sorry, all those fairies are so sensitive.
Yes, oversensitive fairies.
Yeah, well, he could teach Representative Don Young a little bit about having to say you're sorry for something you said about that.
A little bit.
Exactly.
You know, back in my day, it was totally okay to use that term.
I don't understand. Everybody's so sensitive these days. Here he is again.
I've let so many people down. My players, my administration, Rutgers University, the fans. My family, who's sitting in their house just huddled around because of the fact that their father was an embarrassment.
Boy, you know
what? Look, at least he didn't run off with his Argentinian mistress.
That's right. That's true. In the levels of debaggery that we have discussed this morning, you know when you're too plain spoken for Chris Christie, something has gone awry. Chris Christie is fine with this. All right. Jackie Schechner, fabulous stuff as usual. See you back.
Oh, my pleasure.
See you up in the news center.
You got it.
Half hour.
You are the
show.
Awesome.
Yeah, right? 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you?
Yeah, don't you? Right? 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number is toll free from anywhere. Jim and I were just discussing dogs are perfect and people are holes generally. And so, you know.
Or D-bags.
Yeah. No, I rescued a dog in traffic 2 days ago, and I was like, who? And it appears the guy did it on purpose, because I don't get it. Why can't you just at least take him to a shelter or something, you know?
Yeah.
Who does that without a collar?
Now, I've seen dogs running along the freeway, like they've just been dumped, you know, before. Sometimes people just toss them out the window.
Dogs know enough to get lost near me, because this is like the fourth dog I've rescued. And
but you're the crazy dog lady.
Yes, I am the crazy dog lady. Yes, I am. Thank you. Dog I think I've rescued and fostered. Okay. Andy's a good girl. She's watching home now. Hi, Andy. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking now that we're on the animal, you see what you did to me?
What?
You tried to get me out of the screaming goat rabbit hole, and now I'm back.
Uh-huh.
It's like the mafia.
The screaming goat hole?
Right. Man screaming for help who promptly called the cops turned out to be a goat yelling like human.
Oh, wow.
Deputies in Putnam County, Tennessee, who were called to investigate reports of someone crying for help, were relieved to find the source of the screams was just a goat. The same thing happened just a few months ago when a report of a voice calling for help turned out to also be
a goat. But did they rescue the goat at least?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, the goat was good. Fine. They just sound like humans, as we know.
And when they'll turn up on your doorstep.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you sound like. Okay. Shannon in Paris. Oh, Paris, France?
Wow.
Hey, Shannon.
Or bonsoir.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
It actually is the afternoon here.
Bonjour.
Can you hear me?
Bonjour.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. So I just wanted to call and give you a different perspective, because over here it's kind of weird. But first, I want to know if I can be the official 9-year listener, ex-Wisconsinite turned drunken wine binging expat.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that just opened up this morning, so congratulations.
So basically, I thought it was really funny, because everyone's talking about the U.S. perspective on gays and marriage and child rearing and how it's, you know, so behind the times and everything. But even over here in Paris, where we have, you know, a very accepted gay environment, and we have our version of a civil union, and it's all very, you know, okay. People are all up in arms over here about child rearing, and the gay adoption topic is just huge. We had a giant manifestation, like, just last week.
Yeah, there was a big protest last week. There was a big protest last week.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, like, oh, okay, well, to hear the organizers, there's like hundreds of thousands, but really it was probably more than like 30,000. But
right.
So people are really big. Not even accepting of it in an international environment yet. So it's very interesting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, interesting. We were just saying, who is it today? Uruguay has just legalized gay marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
and they're
think
a Catholic
really,
country.
Yeah, yeah. And the fourth Latin American country. Yeah.
I'm so surprised to see how accepting, you know, some nations are of the marriage aspect of it or of the relationship aspect of it versus the U.S. Because the U.S. always seems to be really ickified by the whole thing.
Yeah. Yes, the ick factor has taken time to
to get over.
Subside here. But TikTok, USA, let's go. Okay. You know, I'm not saying that we're too litigious a society. However.
Uh-oh.
Gawker brings us the story of a man sues the city of Phoenix over penis doodles and vagina pasta.
Huh? What?
Yes. Frank Cheatham was he's a fireman.
Mm-hmm.
Was
it Cheatham, firefighter. Firefighter.
Right, firefighter. Excuse me, right. He, Chief Cheatham, saw several inappropriate sexually suggestive drawings and items, specifically two depictions of a penis and the other things, openly displayed in the workplace.
Why can't you say the word vagina?
What? Testicles.
Okay. That's clinical. It's not like you're saying...
Right. Stop it. At the workplace at Fire Station 1, soon after Chief Cheatham complained of the inappropriate sexual drawings and items, he was exercising at a gym located in the Phoenix Fire Department. He saw a T-shirt wearing another drawing of penis and testicles draped over a piece of gym equipment. Soon thereafter, he received a large brown envelope in interoffice mail containing two small pieces of pasta, one of which resembled a penis and the other of which resembled a vagina.
Okay, they make vagina pasta?
Apparently they do.
Maybe there's just mutant pasta that just
this piece of
way.
The piece of pasta resembling a vagina had Chief Cheatham's first name, Frank, written on it. Cheatham is suing the city.
Well, do they have five-year-olds working in the Phoenix Fire Department?
This explains the success of our show, this explanation of entirely too many immature people with way too much free time. Cheatham is suing the city for violating his federal civil rights by creating a sexually hostile work environment.
Oh.
He demands a jury trial. We eagerly await the transcript.
Yes. Wow. All right.
Wow. I'm going shopping for vagina pasta later. Okay.
Well, I've seen penis pasta. They
Fusilli,
sell that.
Fusilli looks, you know.
They sell penis pasta at, like, Spencer's Gifts,
right.
You know, on the X-rated
Spencer's Gifts. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ugh, look at these crow's feet. My God, you stay up past 7:30 and you pay for it in the morning.
Ha! Don't I know it.
I was out with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Uncle Ron?
Yeah, can you tell he's been in here? Why? Because there's product placement. He put TheraBreath stuff everywhere in the studio, and we do love it.
That's right.
We do love it.
Rich Uncle Moneybags put that out.
Rich Uncle Moneybags came in here in his top hat. Yes.
He wasn't wearing the spats.
No,
but he did have a big bag of cash with a dollar sign on it.
So he owes Gene Simmons some money if he
does
that.
All right. And I have product placement in my house. I told you, my friend used it the other day, and she's like, I love it. I love the TheraBreath.
It's good.
You could come to your house.
Right, exactly. All right, we've been having the gun debate all morning, and I'm not saying this is a good thing. But the headline is, tree returns fire on man who used it for target practice. He's fine. Otherwise, I wouldn't do the story. A man in Iowa currently in the hospital recovering from an injury he sustained after a tree he was using for target practice fired back at him. According to reports, he was shooting at a tree outside his home when one of the bullets ricocheted, striking him in an unspecified
Ooh.
Body part.
Oh, no.
He arrived at the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. No word on whether alcohol was a factor.
I just need to get myself. I guess you picked on the wrong tree.
So, Judy in Mohawk, New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning,
Good
sweetness.
Morning.
How are you?
Good morning, love puppet.
You know, I live two blocks from where that shooting in upstate New York happened. From the barbershop.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Buzzed across the canal and went over to Herkimer and
right.
blew a couple people away there.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, you know, we were all,
I hate to use the phrase sweat and bullets because the kids were on lockdown in school and all that other happy horsey crap.
Right.
But, you know, I really think the biggest problem is the fact that these so-called legislators, so-called servants of the people, yeah, right, they're afraid. They're overgrown, unplucked, chicken, whatever.
Wow, you have considerably toned this down for this broadcast, hasn't it?
Well, I'm trying to be politically correct.
I understand. I, by the way, one of my favorite phrases is happy horse. I mean, what's not great about that?
Absolutely.
She can get invited on CNN. She knows how to tone it down.
She didn't say douchebag.
Right.
We'll have to leave it there.
Okay. So, this, by the way, nobody's talking about the sequester, even though, like, it's starting to feel, we're starting to feel the impact in a number of places. Chuck Hagel, by the way, talking about it.
Fiscal realities demand another hard look at personnel. How many people we have, both military and civilian? How many do we need? What do these people do?
Why are we protecting Europe from the Soviet Union, which no longer exists?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck Hagel, one more time.
The sequester cut, because it falls heavily on operations and modernization accounts, is already having a disruptive and potentially damaging impact on the readiness of the force.
Chuck Hagel disclosed he would give back. He's going to give back part of his salaries commensurate with the pay lost by the people that work for him. The president did the same thing. The president plans to return 5% of his salary to the Treasury in solidarity with federal workers who are going to be furloughed as part of the sequester. Which apparently we still have no solution for, but at least we're getting gun control going.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not. No. Tim in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, I'm a physician at a level one trauma center, and, you know, as good as it's going to be when the ban on military multiple casualty weapons passes, because even one life saved is worth it, until we deal with the elephant in the room of handguns, it's negligible.
Right, but Tim,
we're
the problem
not
is
going to get anything.
Right, but we're not even going to get the assault weapons ban done. So.
Yes, we will.
You think
we
will?
Yeah, we will. I firmly believe that. I'm positive we will. Yes.
When? You mean eventually?
We can put pressure. It may not be right now, but if we keep that pressure up, we will.
Okay. Well, I'm a happy clappy, so I.
But
know.
We have
to I'd
because
like to
the handguns. You know, I see it's 10,000 to 1 the ratio of what I see every day, every week of handguns. To larger weapons, and we've got to deal with that.
Yeah, no, I listen. I'm a gun grabber from.
But if we can't
way
get
back.
Rid of assault weapons, what chance do we have to get rid of handguns?
Yeah, I know.
And well, we've got to get rid of all the right wing asshats in Congress.
Well, yes.
Yeah, that's not going to happen though.
I just harshed his happy clappy buzz. That guy.
Yeah. Oh.
What's going on? What's going on?
Oi.
Jim in Charleston, South Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Steph, Nukes. First time caller, long time watcher on Current.
Thank you.
Since we're on gun violence, I'll go with that. I wanted to make a comment about Mark Sanford, but I was reading in today's Charleston paper, state-by-state analysis by the Center for American Progress, that South Carolina is number 6 in gun violence and number 7 in gun homicide. And it also states that the top 10 states in gun violence have the least gun control laws.
Mm-hmm.
The strictest gun control laws have the top 10 states with the least gun violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And practically all of them are in the South.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you can look at any set of statistics and it proves the point. Hey, speaking of the Carolinas, we talked about this yesterday. Guess what North Carolina did?
What?
They made it clear an official state religion. How about that?
That's unconstitutional.
Separation of church and state gone in South Carolina.
What is it, voodoo?
Yes.
Santeria?
It's the voodoo bill.
Yeah.
North Carolina State Representative Carl Ford backs a religion bill that will allow the state to declare an official state faith.
I think
like
they
a
should,
bird.
They should bring back the Norse gods. They were fun.
Republican North Carolina state legislators have proposed allowing an official state religion in a measure that would declare the state exempt from the Constitution and court rulings.
All hail Votan.
Right? The bill filed Monday by two Republican lawmakers and backed by nine other Republicans says each state is sovereign and courts cannot block a state from making laws respecting an establishment of religion.
I think the Constitution.
The Constitution begs to differ.
Yeah.
Yes. I even think Scalia would beg to differ.
Yeah. Wow. Everybody stop trying to out Kansas. Really?
I wouldn't worry about that.
Hey, speaking of levels of D-bagger, remember that federal judge who sent the racist Obama emails?
Yeah.
He has retired, thankfully.
Oh.
Yes.
Poor
He's
thing.
The federal Richard Siebel. You know, Dick.
Dick. Mm-hmm.
Federal judge in Montana who sent an email last year suggesting President Obama's mother had sex with a dog.
Yeah.
Has retired following an investigation into his conduct. He, I remember it was, remember, this is the racist, like, oh, I just forwarded the email because I thought it was funny. I didn't write it, so I'm not racist.
Mm.
In the email forwarded by Siebel, a young Obama asked his mother why he's black and she is white. Don't even go there, Barack. From what I can remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark, his mother replies. Ha ha ha.
That's repugnant.
Wow. Siebel told recipients of his email that he hoped that he hoped it touches your heart like it did mine. Oh, isn't that precious? Mm. Isn't he precious? Boy, the bench is going to be a sadder place without him, isn't
it? Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ed in Philly. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how's it going, Steph?
Good.
How's it going, Mooks?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is about the health care. I work for a Fortune 500 company, which will remain nameless. And 20 years ago, I paid nothing for health care. Now I have to, we switched to a wonderful thing where the first $1,000 out of pocket for any sort of health care comes from me. And, you know, your friend Jackie's right. It's the freaking co-pays, man. I put so much money in the last 5 years out for, like, you know, I'm kind of old, over 40. You wouldn't know how to deal relate to that, of course. But
she relates to that.
Who, me? Oh, yes. Being old? Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I was so old I couldn't hear you just then.
She had her hearing aid turned off.
Sorry.
But, I had a stress test done, and I put, like, you know, it was crazy. The company, the hospital was going to charge $5,600 if I walked in the door. Thanks to Aetna, I paid $500, and Aetna paid $500. But, I mean, this is crazy. It just costs more and more every year. It's a copay. It's like a Ponzi scheme. You think you're covered. You know, you think you got all this good stuff, and until you actually do it and use it, you have a friggin' clue.
Yeah. Well, that's why. That's the good stuff that's in the Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
You know, forces the coverage to be better. Hey, we talked to our friend Hot Marie about this yesterday, but according to the Daily Beast, be afraid, GOP. Hillary Clinton is back, and she will beat you in 2016. Ha ha. Tea and then a he.
She will beat you with her disco stick.
The rhythm stick.
Yeah, Melissa said yesterday she thinks she's going to run. I'm starting to feel that that may be the case.
Yes.
The Daily Beast writing, she's back, and it seems like she never left at all after a pause to rest and recharge, and she apparently recharges swiftly. Hillary Clinton reemerged.
No Kenyan wrench for her.
No.
No soup for you.
She reemerged to a rapturous welcome at the Vital Voices Leadership Awards, to be followed tomorrow by a keynote speech at the Women in the World Summit.
A keynote?
Keynote? Keynote savvy?
There's a moat there. That hotel.
Uh-huh.
Outside the site of the Vital Voices event, a sign-waving crowd chanted, "Ready for Hillary." That's the slogan. We talked about it yesterday. There's a new PAC that's already launched. It promptly attracted 60,000 Twitter and Facebook followers.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And there, just a whole analysis of the stuff that, because I think David Frum wrote a piece about she's not going to, she wouldn't win, or whatever.
Whatever. That's crap.
And they mentioned the Lewinsky scandal, and as they point out in Daily Beast, the Lewinsky episode didn't hurt Hillary. Americans sympathized with her, admired her strength. Don't bring up Whitewater, phony Hillary bashing saga virtually nobody can remember. And then they go on to make the point, the politics of personal destruction is the last refuge of losers. Witness the impact in 2008 when Obama was assailed about his pastor and his alleged ties to a domestic terrorist, yada, yada, yada. The GOP would be wise to heed Frum's better admonition and move beyond its self-defeating rage. I think even Gingrich said that.
Yeah.
If it becomes all about, like, you know, let's say bad things about Hillary, they're going to lose again.
Mm-hmm.
He finishes by saying David Hillary Clinton won't inherit the Democratic nomination and the presidency as an estate in reversion. She's earned it on her own. I'm convinced she will do it, and then she'll win it. Yes, she's back, and Republicans should be very, very afraid. Once again. Neener and Nanny Boo Boo. 46 minutes after the hour. Some celebrity stock as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Turn me inside out and round and round.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian extraordinaire Carlos Alzraqui right here live in studio. Next hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sherry in Pennsylvania. Hi, Sherry. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I really, really adore all of you. You keep me sane.
Did you say endure or enjoy?
Adore.
Oh, adore.
Endure is not quite as good as
some it. People endure us.
Yeah,
yes,
some people just endure us.
No. Well, I've been trying to keep from getting too mellow waiting on the phone because I wanted to be fired up about the NRA.
Yeah.
I have a question. Why do we give them the attention that they crave? They're not that important to us. We can solve the problem without talking about the NRA. I believe that they are so tickled pink when they get mentioned or they're on TV. And I think that maybe if we gave them less credence and kept them out of the conversation ahead.
Yeah, the problem is not us. It's Congress. Obviously, enough people in Congress are scared enough of them that they're not going to do what the majority of us want.
So maybe we shouldn't. We shouldn't let that happen. We shouldn't make them that important. Keep them out of the conversation, TV news people and Congress.
Well, you know what would have helped?
What?
If you just didn't mention them this many times on the national TV.
Well, I've been listening to it, and I just wanted to get that across.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Sherry.
Right, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, what can you do, right?
Yeah.
They have that press conference that he initially had.
That idiotic press conference.
After Newtown, that was just, how could you not mention it?
Yeah.
All right, hey, a little bit of celebrity sack. Oh, no.
What?
What a loss to the music world. Meatloaf is quitting tour.
Oh, no. Damn it.
While other
more
aging...
beautiful for spaces, guys!
Although it was the perfect soundtrack for the Mitt Romney campaign.
Yeah.
While other aging rockers like the Rolling Stones are returning to the lucrative tour circuit, Meatloaf has said he's had enough. He said, I outweigh Mick Jagger by about 100 pounds. And that counts for something. He hasn't seen the wear and tear.
Right. Keith had it.
Right, Keith has a comment.
Hey, there's a bloke called Meatloaf. Never heard of him, mate. Apparently he's tired of the road after 35 years. Crying in lean liver. We've been touring since dinosaurs roamed the earth. We actually hired velociraptors to be our roadies. Yeah, at least they look like velociraptors or space aliens or Bigfoot, depending on the various substances thrown through my veins at any given time. I once thought Charlie was a giant shepherd's pie and took a bite out of him. He still hasn't forgiven me. Talking of pub grub, I guess you could say Meatloaf is cooked. I've got a million of them.
Thank you, Keith. I think Charlie Watts does look like a giant piece of shepherd's pie.
He kind
of
does.
No offense.
Especially since he's gotten older.
Shepherd's pie is yummy. I didn't mean any offense by that. Washington Redskin Adam Carriker. I don't really speak football.
Okay.
He's a Washington Redskins defensive end. He addressed rumors circulating that an NFL player is about to come out of the closet.
Uh-huh.
He responded, whoever this player is, he'll need to feel welcomed in the locker room first and foremost. He said it will depend on the locker room. I don't.
Okay.
I don't really know what that means. Whether the people in that particular locker room feel threatened or I really...
Why should you feel threatened?
You know what? Chris Cluey should be in charge of everything.
And everything
in sports. Okay. Speaking of which, did you see Magic Johnson's son?
Yes.
What? Him?
Magic is very proud of him.
He's very proud of his son.
He has gone public with his boyfriend.
Yep.
That was his boyfriend. Magic Johnson's 20-year-old son hit the Sunset Strip.
He was my boyfriend!
Right, hand in hand with his boyfriend. His parents could not be happier for him. EJ, one of Magic's three kids.
They couldn't be happier for him and his purse.
Yeah.
He was, he was carrying a purse in the video, which is fine.
So does Tinky Winky. Cookie and I love EJ and support him in every way. We're very proud of him. So thank you, Magic.
Good for him.
All right.
And it's funny, they were asking Magic Johnson's son all these questions about sports because his dad, you know, is involved in sports. And
yes.
He had no idea.
I don't. I know who my dad is, but I don't.
No.
I was hoping this was along the same lines, but it's not. Jack Nicholson and Shaq seal it with a kiss.
Huh?
Jack Nicholson was on the court to surprise. They retired his jersey, Shaquille O'Neal's jersey.
Okay.
Jack and Shaq embraced during the halftime ceremony, and Shaq planted a kiss on Jack's head.
Oh.
That's
totes adorbs.
Wind in the hair, lead in the pencil.
No, not that kind of kiss. No lead in the pencil.
Right. She wanted to get me on my back. All you had to do was ask.
No lead in the pencil.
By the way, that was Jim Ward. He's not talking about Jack Nicholson.
No.
All you have to do is ask if you want Jim Ward on his back. Okay.
Pretty much.
Wow. Huh? You don't even have to ask. Norwegian schools reschedule midterms to accommodate students with tickets to a Justin Bieber concert. What's with the... I don't understand. I'm too old to understand the Bieber fever, but it's bad. In anticipation of the chaos that will likely ensue when Justin Bieber returns to Norway, yumpin' yimini.
Yumpin' yimini.
Later
this month. Houston Bieber.
Houston Bieber.
I thought you were Rachel Maddow.
Have preemptively rescheduled midterm exam, citing fears the students will cut class and miss the test. I know word if there is that kind of pandemonium when Rachel goes there on her book tour.
It's just a bit. No, it's Rachel. Okay.
They
do have kind of the same hair.
Busta Rhymes allegedly has total meltdown in Miami restaurant because he wants a cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger?
You know when you want a cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger, Pepsi.
No Pepsi Coke.
He reportedly threw such a fit in a Miami restaurant after his cheeseburger was served to him with ketchup on the side instead of on the... The restaurant's owner had to call the police. He was calling our delivery driver, Santiago, a F-word for gay man multiple times, called me a bitch, told me to shut the up because his salt, pepper, ketchup, and mayo that he asked for were on the side. Wow. There's been a lot of levels of douchebaggery discussed on the show today. Speaking of which, Donald Trump has dropped his $5 million orangutan lawsuit against Bill Maher.
Huge lawsuit. Huge.
The word buffoon was just—it was made for Donald Trump, wasn't it? Yes. He sued Bill Maher for the $5 million he owes him, quote unquote, after the HBO host offered the cash in exchange for him, proving he's not the spawn of an orangutan.
Orangutan.
Trump's lawyer said the lawsuit was temporarily withdrawn to be amended and refiled at a later date. Sure it is.
Don't hold your breath for that later date.
58 minutes after the hour, Carlos Al's Rocky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, who is that cuddly creature over there? Why?
That's good coffee.
I take it black, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos Sells Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
Do you never have a second cup of coffee at home?
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos Sells Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
This is sort of a hard intro to live up to. It means I've always got to be hyper. It's like a personalized life.
But you play. Are always hyper.
And here I am with the I took a sip of five. I'm on 26-minute energy right now. just
you have to be because you're a new parent and you whipped out the new kid pictures in record time.
Yeah. My
and
little
you're
daughter.
Still, you're still in months.
And
I
still
have
in 22 months. Yeah, you don't say months. Year and something months. It's 22 months.
22 months.
Still in months. She wore a little tutu to Target, just like a real, those Walmart parties you see when those adults are wearing that stuff.
Stuff.
My daughter, yeah, 22 months, and we're watching Newsies and Nannies a lot. We love you, Miss Hannigan. I'm the king of New York. That's all I got in my brain. I got nothing left.
She is really a little too cute.
Yeah,
little
you know what?
Too totes adorbs.
She is, and I was thinking about the decibels in your house are always, ah, we can fight it now. I'll help you. Will you help me? I think she should learn important life lessons like, Republicans will always vote against their best interests. You'll never ban firearms because the NRA lobby is too powerful. See, Riley, I want you to learn your lessons.
Good girl, Riley.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I was saying the other day, we were talking about the airline's going to charge overweight people by weight, and I said I would like people to charge per decibel level that their child screams on a flight.
Yeah, nope. How many kicks? How many kicks? There's 25 kicks, it's $25. Just like, it's like baggage fee, it's kickage fee. I'm sorry, it's $25 kickage fee.
Actually, speaking of the gun stuff, we've been talking about it all morning. It really is beyond distressing to me.
No background check. They don't want anything. All you have to do is set the parameters where any legislation means confiscation. And then right away, you can get people to vote for it. It's just my brother and I have been, I have a show called The Facebook Wars on Monday on the GoCast Network. And that's always, thank you, a plug, a topic of conversation. And the latest one, obviously, was the NRA saying that you should arm people, arm teachers. And my trite comment, my incendiary comment that sets it off is, well, there's no way any of them will ever miss, and they'll always hit their intended target.
Yeah.
You literally have to think about the human consequences of a teacher missing and killing an innocent child. But in their warped mind,
a gun can never make a mistake.
Jim was making the comment, the analogy the other day. Do you know how many police situations are?
There was an NYPD incident where all
Empire
these highly
State
trained cops, they wounded
nine
bystanders.
People.
Yeah.
They missed their target.
And this,
not to mention that good guy with the gun, the sheriff who just got killed recently, the DA in Texas.
Yeah.
The DA in Texas was armed. And they said only a good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun, provided that the bad guy with a gun goes, excuse me, I'm, like the cheese shop, I'm going to have to shoot you.
Yeah.
Right, is that? I suppose I won't have time to draw my weapon. No, I've got the uppers on you.
Yes.
You
know, like all people with guns are like the polite chipmunks. After you. Oh, no, you
first.
After you. Oh, no, you first. Thank you.
So, yeah, so that's part of the conversation.
Because the good guy with a gun has magical powers.
Right.
And the thing, they had this 15-year-old girl that the right was touting on the web, on Facebook, that made this confession. She's she's got a shooting scholarship, and they thought that she was so eloquent. She was basically, without emotion, just reading all the pro-gun sort of stats. And she didn't address, and this is the argument I love. They'll go, well, in China, somebody killed 22 people with a knife. So then you're arguing the merits of a knife being as capable as a gun.
All
so
right.
You're telling me you don't need a gun,
guns.
That a knife is just as dangerous.
We had a guy call earlier that said more people are killed
I have statistics.
Feet. Oh, you do?
Right
thank
here.
You. He said more people are killed with fists and feet than
hear
guns, which is completely incorrect. Yes, please.
Murders in the U.S. 2000 to 2010. Explosives, 53. Poison, 130. Drowning, 239. Drugs, 638. Asphyxiation, 1,225. Fire, 1,342. Strangulation, 1,536. Blunt object, 7,049. Personal weapons, I guess that's where the feet and fists
come
in. 10,079.
Wait, how many fists and feet?
10,079.
Okay.
Other, I don't know what other is, but... Sex toys, I don't know. 11,364. Knife, 20,503. Firearm, ding, 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 ding. 111,289.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have a winner. Hold your call.
Wow. If you're making, if you're shooting with your feet,
if you,
or
how
you make
gun
your hands
with
into
your
a fist, that technically slides over into the subcategory.
If you've got a knife in your
feet.
Mouth. And
I'm fixated on the same thing, too, now, Jim. What's other?
It all
must
kind
be sex toys. I can't imagine anything.
That and the nuclear weapons thing in North Korea bespeaks of the arrogance of human beings to say, this dangerous technology will never fall into bad hands.
Uh-huh.
And the argument I hate is, it'll keep guns from law-abiding citizens, as if that's a permanent condition and it can never go. You know what? Point out a law-abiding. You know what a law-abiding citizen? You know
a
what
guy
a criminal
who hasn't
is?
Committed a crime,
we finally found out how to tell what a criminal is. His name is Oscar Pistorius. He has artificial legs and he is a track star. That's what a criminal is. We now know how to tell criminals. They're
amputees.
Look for
a guy with no legs. Yeah.
It's just this notion that law-abiding is a permanent condition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell that to Harvey Milk and George Moscone because Dan White was elected official.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, a law-abiding person.
I mean, everybody's a good guy with a gun right up until they're a bad guy with a gun. Right.
Yeah, all it takes is one little squeeze.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we were saying earlier, Connecticut just passed this bipartisan. They got it all done.
Yep.
Assault weapons ban,
quickly.
Magazines, background checks.
Like, blindingly quick.
Yeah.
Well, that's one one instance where I agree with state power, because as we know, it's going the other way. We're becoming divisible in terms of religion and abortion. So at least...
My theory is everyone's trying to out-Kansas Kansas. Really? We got some here going on up in here.
Yeah.
Really? You just passed them. Yeah, they just tried to establish a state religion in North Carolina.
Insane.
Well, maybe they'll go far enough to go, well, if a woman has rape, she's got to have a baby, but the rapist is going to be punished for murder for killing those sperm that didn't go to its intended target.
Rick in Washington, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Sam?
Good. Good morning. Welcome.
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to just go ahead and qualify this by saying I am a conservative.
Huh?
And, of course, I'm going to disagree on several points that you have going here.
Okay.
One of them being is it just seems that we're going down the same path again and again with this gun control thing. That being, we want to take the guns out of the hands of the people responsible, law-abiding citizens.
No, just the point I was making is, it possible that a responsible citizen can go nuts? And clearly it is. We've seen it. So you're acting as if being responsible is a permanent condition.
Well,
is it possible that a responsible citizen can shoot their kid by accident? Is it possible that a responsible citizen could turn to domestic violence when he gets pissed off at his wife because she's sleeping with somebody else when he comes home?
Yeah.
That's possible, is it not?
Well, was it possible that if he didn't have a gun, he could take a knife or a club or a stick?
Okay, you just heard Jim read the statistics. Come on, it's a lot easier to kill someone with a firearm.
You can kill someone from a distance with a firearm.
So if you think a stick and a knife are just as effective, why don't you get rid of your guns and use a stick and a knife? It doesn't make sense. You're arguing...
Well, because the bad guys are still going to have
the bad guys.
Who are the bad guys? Yeah. Can you label them at birth? Can you please do that genetically so we all know who the bad...
Was Nancy Lanza a responsible gun owner?
She was not. She left them unsaid.
So what we can say is that we don't know when somebody's going to go crazy who's responsible for all their life or for the majority of their life and are law-abiding and take care of being a citizen. But we can say that people who are just going to go off are just going to go off. I mean, where's the line? I mean,
there's some merit.
Take guns from everybody.
There is some merit in what you're saying. People are entitled to home protection, and what others are saying, like Biden, is that
you don't need a 100
You just need
round
a shotgun. You know, I am not going to take away anybody's.
You just need my box. That's all you need. You don't even need a shotgun.
Which box?
This. My sound effects box.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
All you need. See?
That's all you need.
But nobody wants to take your rights away. And yeah, I've get conservative friends on Facebook that show me the California gun confiscation. But that's if you're committed a felony, you've been to a mental institution,
right.
or you're busted for drugs. But I don't believe that we were talking about it, that banning certain types of weapons means confiscation. So I wouldn't want to take – my father-in-law is a big pro-gun person. He teaches safety on gun ranges. We've
right.
had this argument. So I don't want to disparage or say that what this person is saying is wrong. Sometimes – at least you're saying that it's for home protection. What I don't get is that the fear of tyranny, because a lot of Second Amendment people are saying a fear of a government takeover.
Yes.
It's going to happen. May not happen in my lifetime. The thing is, I don't want to delegitimize your fear. All I have to say is that I don't share it. I have to believe that our government is good. Otherwise, it's insane, and I shouldn't be living in America. I would move somewhere else.
And Rick, if you're are you one of those people that believe that you need it about because of government tyranny?
No, absolutely not.
Because I think again, all y'all's you're going to lose. You're going to lose against the government's drones.
I was going to say, what would my 9mm do against a tank? Or
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I mean. And I'm with you. I really do think we need to believe our government is good.
Mm-hmm. We have to. Otherwise, it's insanity.
You know, Rick,
I would
like to say, I wish all gun owners were as reasonable as you are. The problem is, I mean, do you, when you listen to Wayne LaPierre, do you think everything he says is reasonable?
Oh, absolutely not.
All right. I'm gonna,
wow.
You know,
I like you, Rick.
I'm going to end there.
No,
relationship is still good.
It really helps me because I'm a lefty. I can get liberal. I can get John Lennon, you stupid wankers. But my father-in-law is a pretty liberal guy. But his belief of guns, I found out, part of it was the fear of a government takeover. And he points to Nazi Germany. Obviously, the conditions are different. But he had several guns at home, and he did make a point.
Well, he had a government takeover. It was when Cheney Bush stole the election twice.
Right. Well, that's what somebody else was arguing, who's like a libertarian.
And how would guns have helped there?
Exactly. Here is a fact that he pointed out, and this is where liberals may learn a little something, that an AR-15 is a weapon we want to ban. It's a semi-automatic. You have to pull the trigger each time to fire the rounds and magazines. Mm-hmm. He goes, I own a gun right now that has a wooden handle that has the same capacity as an AR-15, and that's not on the list of guns that need to be banned.
Because it has a wooden handle.
Because it has a wooden handle. So there's things that both sides could be educated on.
Yeah.
And like this conversation, I thought it was civil. There's universal background checks have, 90% approval?
92, I think. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's some things that we can compromise on. We just need to change the parameters.
Yep. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. I'll throw a rollicking start. And a respectful start. We'll put a stop to that when we get back.
After you.
Oh, no. You first.
No.
Thank you.
There's wood on your gun. That's pretty. That's all right, then. We continue more coffee with Carlos.
Yes.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Passionate.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they did it with expert timing. Oh, yeah.
I get it. Because more people are killed with feet,
yep.
Right, than guns, according to our right-wing caller.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Yeah, we are. We're a nation of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. That didn't sound like home was Clemens. Invaded by ninjas.
Exactly.
They used throwing stars.
Exactly.
They
Maybe
used,
that was
they
other
used
Jim.
A metal badge from a dead sheriff that was shot.
Shuriken.
Yes.
Yeah.
People killed by ninja stars. That's probably the large portion of the
battle of the ninja stars.
Yes. Exactly. All right. We go from, let's see, guns to gays.
Oh.
We were saying, who knew we would be so much farther ahead on marriage equality than on guns in 2013? Really? However, there's always Alan Keyes.
Oh, boy. Is that the same as Alan West?
No,
Alan Key West.
Alan Key West.
Speaking of gays,
he's an island of stupidity, not to be outdone by Ben Carson.
It's an entirely different right-wing kook. Alan Keyes. Let's see. You remember he lost by 1,000 points to Barack Obama for the Senate race, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then he ran for president, didn't he, for a minute? In the last go-round, he argues that gay marriage is the archetype of all crimes against humanity.
All crimes?
Yep.
All crimes.
And that an entire elite faction is committed to that crime.
Mm-hmm.
A big gay
All
army.
Crimes? Like, they
yes.
stole my candy bar from the drugstore. It's the gays.
Right.
Sure, it's all those gays put people in concentration.
They put them in freezers.
Oh, wait, the gays were in concentration camps. The pink stars.
He decried Republican Senator Rob Portman for announcing that he supports marriage equality because of his gay son. He said, if you go down a road that satisfies your personal predilections and relationships and sacrifices the common good of the country,
like
including
guns.
The elementary institution by which civilization is sustained, then you're not only derelicting your public duty, you're abandoning your obligation as a human being.
Hmm. Oh, come on.
A human
oh,
being.
My goodness. Rob Portman has ceased being a human being now in Keyes' eyes.
Yeah.
Wow. Keyes, who opposed Barack Obama, as I mentioned, in the 2004 race for senator, he's been something of a trendsetter among Republicans. He was the first poll truther. A poll show he had only the support of 43% of Republicans. He said that was obviously generated by a biased media that has put out a lot of lies, along with the fact that he lost by 40 points.
Yeah.
I want you on your show to issue a nationwide bet, because I've done this on my Facebook. And I'd be willing, and put this out there.
Okay.
Anybody is welcome to live in my house, my old house in North Hollywood, next to 5 gay married couples in the same couple of blocks. If there's an ounce of
proof,
that's
like a gay to
you sack. Can live there for a month, a week, a month, live there for a month. If you can give me 1 ounce of proof that their marriages do anything to affect your life,
to yours,
I will give you $10,000.
Wow.
I will give you $10,000, but you must have.
Listen, there's Google Maps. People right now are looking at where that is.
1 ounce of proof.
That's his old house in North Hollywood. He doesn't
live there anymore. Okay.
1 ounce of proof.
Okay.
I'll just let my tenants know that some idiot's coming to live with you.
Oh, God.
Oh, here's Anthony in Washington, D.C. with an Alan Keyes fun fact. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alan Key's daughter is a lesbian. And
that's not allowed.
Oh, no.
He pretty much cut off.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
I know. I did. Sad. No, I did. I did hear that. Now that you bring it up, I totally forgot.
Yeah, he cut ties with it, totally.
Yeah, and I guess he's a better human being than Rob Portman, huh?
Well, he think he is, but you know how that goes.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
It's like the zombie apocalypse. He's got to shoot her now in the head. Can't get bitten by her because it might spread. Once you get bitten by the gay zombies.
Especially the gay zombies.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Fabulous! Fabulous! What a fabulous winter street ride!
Oh, dear.
That's actually legitimately scary, the gay zombies.
It's like my gay ghost bit.
Do it again.
Fabulous! Okay. Fabulous!
That's the new Disneyland ride.
Yeah, Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
The witch is undead.
Madonna.
Yeah, there you go.
Madonna, Fosse. Okay. Oh.
Jazz hands.
Jazz bones.
Spirit fingers. Do it. Okay.
The spirit fingers will fall off if you go.
Right, they just all drop off. Gay zombies aren't good at spirit fingers.
No. It's like my bit about your house being haunted by gay ghosts. And late at night you hear, organize your closets.
Invisible gay entities. Rearranging your
footwear.
No,
the ghosts
footwear.
Are always...
Yeah. Can ghosts be
quit
feng shuiing
my furniture and stub my toe again.
That's invisible gay entities. Like,
that's right.
They just throw stuff out. That is horrible.
It's Kara Steven.
So 1970s.
That shag carpet boo.
Okay. 29. Oh, now it's a Paul Lind entity.
Oh.
Sammy.
Fly down the railing again.
29 minutes after the hour, back with more Coffee with Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
He's a good person who is a victim of our nation's obscene cult of superficiality.
Great.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12.
Superficiality. Whatever.
Is that like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious superficiality? We're watching Mary Poppins in my house.
That's all right.
You have children.
No. We're just watching her. Mary Poppins, clean. Clean with that parasol, clean.
So we've been talking about gun stuff, and we were saying how there are more, there's more regulations on, like, lawn darts than there are on
Yes. I think metal lawn darts back in the early 90s were responsible for 2 deaths. Took them off the market.
Yeah.
But, you know, criminals can still get their hands on them, go into a drugstore and go, you, put all the money in that register, you. Stand in that circle.
I've got a lawn dart.
Turn in the circle.
Funk. I didn't think you'd be that accurate, Mr. Criminal. Oh, yeah. I've always been great with this lawn dart.
Funk.
I purchased it illegally at a lawn dart show. It's ridiculous. One has a powerful lobby. One does not.
Right.
My Bengal tiger got loose and attacked your children at school. Well, that doesn't, you know, entitle you to limit me to my Bengal tiger. I'm a responsible Bengal tiger owner.
Exactly.
This is not a dangerous animal. People.
And I'm
kill
gonna
people,
get a
not
lion
Bengal
now.
Tigers.
I'm responsible with my Bengal tiger. What's wrong with you?
I need an arsenal of pumas.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I'm a victim of a lawn dart by my own hands.
What about if a criminal comes in with a rhino?
Right.
I need a Bengal tiger.
Right. Then you need bigger and bigger animals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the victim of a lawn dart by my own hand. I forgot because I was spazzy and I forgot to let go and I embedded it in my own head.
You did?
Wow.
And that's why they should be banned. You could have hurt yourself.
Yes.
You could have taken it to school and thrown it at a teacher.
Good thing basketball doesn't involve lawn darts.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Might have killed somebody.
You know, and we've been talking about the gay marriage issue.
It's an issue.
I think we can all agree that whatever kind of sex Kesha is having is just weird.
Kesha, yes.
Kesha.
Right. It's just weird.
$ha.
She said that she and Johnny Depp had eyeball sex at the benefit concert for Superstorm Sandy in L.A.
What is eyeball sex?
Sounds like the last detail.
69, but really precise?
No, she said we never really talked. We just had eyeball sex.
We've
all done that.
So basically, they saw each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My cornea got pregnant.
Thank God he's not cockeyed. Anyway, my point is, no, I didn't. Yes, I
did. Yes, you did.
In front of a professional.
Now, whether he's wearing that patch, good night, folks.
This, we've discussed this before. She also, speaking of entities, she is also... That's what she said her song Supernatural was about. She said it's about experiences with the supernatural, but in a sexy way. Mm. I had a couple of experiences with a supernatural. I don't know his name. He was a ghost. I'm very open to it.
One night stand, a ghost.
Succubus or an incubus.
Right, like my favorite movie that I'm obsessed with, Barbara Hershey, In the Entity.
In the Entity.
Where
did the ghost do the hover?
Right, by a sound effect. That's the only reason you knew he was in the room, because it was like a...
Well, in Rosemary's Baby, we discovered it wasn't the devil. It was kind of the leader of the cult that looked like the devil. It was a metaphor.
Right.
Drink more fruit shake. Come on, drink your shake. It's good for you.
It's got the tannin root. It's good for you.
It's good for you. Ruth Gordon. She couldn't kill anybody. Ruth Gordon in a cult?
Ruth Gordon was naked at the end of that.
Yeah.
No.
Like Kathy Bates in that one movie, in the hot tub.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In other, that's Kesha moments. I'd forgotten these fun facts. She's been known to drink her own urine.
Yep.
Oh.
Snap a photo of herself peeing on the street.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
She's classy with a K.
She's Mapplethorpe.
With a K and a dollar sign.
How Mapplethorpian?
She to gobble up other people's beards.
Huh?
Beards?
To fillet a cannoli. And write a song about her mom and her vagina. Okay.
Keisha, stop eating Santa Claus.
Let go of my beard, young lady.
Keisha, I don't know who that is.
Marcus
that
Bachman alone. No,
somebody really likes attention. I don't know what that's about.
Keisha. Not to be confused with Keyshawn Johnson, former USC and Tampa Bay wide receiver.
Yes, not to be confused.
Keisha Knight Pulliam.
No, Deborah in Tennessee, Chattanooga. Hello, Deb.
Chattanooga.
Hi.
Hi,
Chattanooga.
I just want to tell you I love you guys so much.
Thank you.
I especially have a crush on Jim. But
Hello.
Hello now.
January 4th, a boy in the Chattanooga choo-choo.
Can't help it.
All right.
Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about something I got in the mail yesterday. We were so excited, my husband and I, when he came in and said, "You got something from Rand Paul."
Oh.
And oh yeah.
It's a foot on your neck.
It's his hair.
It looks like it's from the National Rifle Association, but it's not. It's the National Association for Gun Rights, and they want me to sign an emergency Second Amendment protection directive.
God.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I said. But I would like your help, because what I want to do is not sign it, but I do want to write something in red marker on this, but I need it to be
tell them that you have instead alerted the emergency to pay replacement system on Rand Paul's behalf.
I do what now?
I kid. I kid. All right.
Maybe you should write a petition for saving the Third Amendment so that no redcoats will be housed in your garage. Which is a real problem.
Please send to Restoring Mental Health Care like it was before the Reagan administration.
Yeah. Right, the big news out here, because we're in Hollywood, all we care is about the show business,
right,
is Jimmy Fallon is officially announced yesterday as taking over for Jay Leno. Jimmy Fallon yesterday talking about...
You guys probably heard the news. I'm going to be taking over for The Tonight Show next February. But don't worry, until February, our focus is right here on whatever this show is called.
And David Letterman got into the fun last night on the on his show. David Letterman last night.
I got a call from my mom today. She says, "Well, David, I see you didn't get the Tonight Show again."
And Jay Leno last night. Jay Leno last night. On
Jimmy
the
hasn't
Tonight
even
show.
Taken over yet, and the rumor's already starting. Like NBC says, in 5 years, they plan to replace Jimmy with Justin Bieber. They're moving too quickly.
Now he's going to be reduced to, you remember the bit you did a few years ago?
Yeah, Jay Leno is a human car alarm. I remember that.
He's going to be reduced to the late night infomercials, I believe.
Yeah, hold on one second.
Okay.
We had a little meltdown
and
over here.
And it goes a little something like this.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I think he's queuing it up. Here it comes.
Everybody chat him.
Coming soon.
It's the Jay Leno car alarm.
Step away from the car, sir.
That's my 62 Studebaker. That's it. I'm kidding. You get away from the damn car.
The Jay Leno Talking Car Alarm. Now available in stores for Christmas. Snap-on chin sold separately.
Only $19.95. Before Jim Ward.
Wow.
That's funny.
Before. Thank God.
I ran into a guy in a parking lot, a Russian guy, and he says, "Hey, Jay Leno, you're Jay Leno." The gray hair and jaw.
If I were Jay Leno, I'd have a better car.
I'm driving a Honda.
You've been here almost an hour. I haven't asked you to do a faraway dog yet.
Which is our neighbor's.
Sounds like it's coming from your house.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks. It's my favorite.
Far I can see dog. Russia from your house.
You can you do close-up dog and then faraway dog so people
understand?
I'll
just understand. Go on the tour, on the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour, and come out for 5 seconds. Now it's time for... It's faraway dog guy coming to a city near you.
Richard,
how does he do it?
Richard in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Richard.
Good morning. Listen, I listened to those stats on the 110,000 murders with firearms, and I was wondering if those stats could be broken down to how many of those are by gang members, mm-hmm. by convicted felons, those kind of things. I'm not opposed to background checks. I'm not opposed to restrictions on who should own firearms, but I take great offense that I'm being told that sooner or later in my life, I might go nuts and shoot my wife or my neighbors or somebody that ticks me off at school. I mean, that doesn't seem logical to me.
But it happens.
It does happen, Richard.
Let me finish. It happens in a percentage that's probably not even a fifth of 1%.
How many times has your home been invaded?
You're 43 times more likely to kill a loved one or an acquaintance if you have a gun in the house. I mean, they've done these studies, Richard, and we have these statistics.
We don't have
murders by beating to death your child or stabbing your wife or I mean, well, other ways
that exists
yes,
too.
And, but there,
there's also other ways to protect your home. There's alarms. We don't have stats for how effective home alarms are against home invasion. We don't have stats for how good Rottweilers or other dogs are good to protect against home invasion. You think the problem is that you think the gun is your only line of defense and you align it with your freedom. And you're entitled to that, but we're entitled to say we don't align our sense of freedom with a firearm, and you think that we're naive and liberal.
You're talking to a person who has a hockey stick at the front door. So I don't have a firearm to protect my house from somebody that wants to kick down my front door and do a home invasion. Nobody.
Do you have an alarm? Do you have a home alarm?
I do have a home alarm when I'm not home.
Maybe you should put it on when you're home. Maybe you should put it on while you're sleeping.
I'm not a paranoid. I mean, now you're talking about, I don't know what kind of people you hang out with, but I'm not paranoid.
What do you mean?
Maybe I'm missing the point of your call. You're saying you're not a gun owner.
I am a gun owner.
Oh, you are a gun owner, but you keep a hockey stick.
Absolutely.
But what if Guy Lafleur breaks in? I'm just saying, there may be someone that's better with a hockey stick than you, and you need a better hockey stick. Okay, 45.
He
called, but that's the problem.
It could happen.
He called owning a home alarm paranoia, yet a firearm isn't. That's what's implicitly wrong about the psychology of a gun. It's almost like they really want to have sex with it. It's kind of weird. It's a physiological sexual addiction
fetish
to a gun barrel.
You only have a Guy Lafleur toy.
That's right.
That's all you have.
That's all I have to protect myself against.
Somebody
a hockey stick.
Us.
I've got Guy Lafleur.
Get out.
Well,
get out.
Get out.
I have Guy Lafleur.
Get out.
I got more Canadians upstairs. If that doesn't work.
I couldn't use my Guy Lafleur. He was in the penalty box, for 2 minutes for high sticking.
I'll throw a loony at your head,
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Carlos Cal's Rocky on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Now you got faraway angry dog. This is that last caller.
Do it again. Go ahead.
I don't mind.
I always want to rescue him and take him home whenever he comes in.
I get so emotional, but I didn't respond well to somebody saying that using a home alarm system is equated to being paranoid. No, it's
but
not.
Having a gun.
Nor is necessarily owning a firearm. People are entitled to have a shotgun, and obviously we encourage anybody that does have a gun to get proper training and at least My father, I told my father-in-law, I don't like guns. May or may never have one in the house. If I do, it'll probably be beanbag shotgun, which are lethal anyways. But I do want my daughter, as soon as she's old enough, to go to the range with myself and with my father-in-law, who teaches gun safety and respect for firearms. And I don't
want... Not in that outfit she's wearing in that latest picture.
Actually, huh? Yeah.
I want to shoot guns and wear a pretty dress.
She's a pretty dress girl, but...
it looks like something from Toddlers and Tiaras.
She's adorable.
She
got Vaseline on her teeth. But I don't want the first time my daughter sees a gun to be at some sleepover and goes, look at my daddy has. I want her to go, I'm getting a blank out of here, because my father-in-law and my dad taught me that these are to be respected. So
right.
I'm a liberal, but I do want her to get proper training with a firearm. And if she wants to own one when she's 18, absolutely welcome to do that.
There you are. Sherry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi, welcome. You're on with Carlos. Go ahead.
Well, hi, Carlos.
Hi, Steph.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ignore you there. I actually wanted to call and rebut Richard, who's like all of the gun owners that I know. I know quite a few people who own guns, and I don't mind guns. I don't have any problem with guns. But the problem that I have is that goofy idea that Richard has, that everybody who owns a gun is a good guy with a gun, mm-hmm. unless they're, you know, like the gang members and the bad, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Dog whistle. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, and so that's where I have a problem, especially because you have the NRA and other groups blocking any kind of data collection.
Yep.
They're more than happy to say, hey, you know, what are the statistics? We don't really know out of those 10,000 gun deaths, how many of them were gang. You know, they had to mostly be gang deaths, and they were gang related. They were bad guys with guns, not me, not a good guy with a gun.
Yeah,
and we don't actually have the numbers.
And conversely, when all these pro-gun studies, when England did their gun ban, they point to the violence going up and people getting mugged. I said, well, you're not giving me the statistics on that violence. Was it gang-related?
Right.
Was it soccer hooligans? Could all of those crimes of violence been prevented by a firearm? There's no research on that. So
there's no research because they blocked that research.
Yeah.
I don't know what year they started to block that.
Well, they actively try to prevent us from getting research. It's ridiculous. And because they know what it'll show.
I'm reading an article right now that says gun dealers have been keeping sales records for 40 years without any complaint by reasonable law-abiding gun owners. And nothing about a system of universal background checks and basic sales records will lead to confiscation.
That's right. Doug in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Same subject. Hi, Doug.
Hey, everybody. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, if you see Carlos running naked on the highway barking, just rescue him.
Without a collar.
But he's microchipped.
Far away, dog. Come close.
Got me a sugar mama.
I don't know if the right information is going to go in the chip or not. They may want him back. But anyway, the Boca Raton, Florida, yesterday, a loving couple, been married and respected in the community for over 20 years. The man walks in, shoots his wife, and shoots himself. And luckily, the receptionist wasn't there. And it was all, he's legal. He's registered.
Yeah. Well, that goes to Carlos's point.
Everything's there.
Right. I mean, nobody can argue that, like you were saying, whether it's Oscar Pistorius or whatever happened there, whether it's, you know, that football player. I mean, having a gun readily available, you can't say that, you know, domestic disputes might not be solved differently.
Yeah, exactly. And their argument could be, look, O.J. did it with a knife. But I believe O.J. did it with a knife because he's a big guy and he didn't need a weapon. You know, in the case of Zimmerman, the gun gave him some sense of power where he said, I can approach this teenager. I can almost guarantee you, if he didn't have that weapon and saw this kid, Trayvon Martin, and the size of the kid, he's not going to come up and bother him without that firearm.
Yeah.
The firearm gave him a sense of,
and it would have
like,
been just a guy that wants to fight instead of a dead kid.
Yeah, he was getting his ass kicked by a teenager.
Yeah. Dorothy in Buffalo. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm from off the old transit road on Tonawanda Creek, and I'm an old girl, 80 years old. I've got a couple sports cars, and I was reading. Have I got this wrong? Because I am old. Did you at one time have a Dodge Dart?
Oh my God! Yes, I had. That was okay. My first car, a red Dodge Dart with no shocks.
Listen to this, Stephanie. You're going to turn over. Best deal. This is an ad in the Buffalo Evening News. Dodge 1972 Dart, 318 automatic, numbers match, which is important.
Right.
In an expensive car. Clean, $8,900.
Wow.
Yikes. I should have saved that sucker.
I'd support it if you kept it.
No, I did not keep it. Thank you, Tom.
I'm going to see Stephanie at Bob's Big Boy on Friday night.
Yeah.
No, I should have kept that sucker.
They have a new Dodge Dart now, which is much sportier than the old one. And they have shocks.
Every time we hit like a tiny bump, all my high school friends would yell, "Get some shocks!"
It's a Dodge non-metal dart, though.
Yes.
Those are lethal.
A Dodge Jart.
Those are dangerous.
Yeah.
Don't drive it in the back of a Pinto.
No.
All right, Carolyn in Indiana here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I didn't think I'd get on. Okay. I have these gun people. I think what they need to do, especially the ones with the assault weapons, send them to a island, you know, a desert island, mm-hmm. and let them just shoot at one another and see who comes out alive.
Kind of like a demolition derby.
But with guns, yeah. Right.
That's a movie premise. Somebody in Hollywood had just stole that
Someone
idea.
Someone just, exactly.
Starring Mel Gibson.
From you.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Tracy in St. Louis. Hi, Trace. You're on with Carlos.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm calling about my opinion on guns. I'm a gun owner, and I'm all for the private registry, the mm-hmm. private sales, the mm-hmm. registry of it, because I don't think a lot of people know that you are responsible now. And it's kind of more like a insurance policy mm-hmm. to go through the government. And I also think that a lot of people don't know that you don't actually register a gun. What you do is you register the receiver. So if you get like an 870 Remington shotgun, and it has like a shotgun barrel, you can just buy a barrel and for slugs. It has lands and grooves. They call that rifling. And if you can just register that part, why can't anything, any clips or magazines over 10 have a serial number on it and then register that just like you would that receiver? So I don't understand why people don't want that.
Look, there's a lot of reasonable, good, you know, the fingerprint recognition is a good idea mm-hmm. For guns. Oh, there's a letter for you before you go. You said you'll give anybody $10,000 that moves into your old neighborhood
yes.
next to six gay couples and see if their marriage is affected.
Yeah.
Damien says, if I moved into your North Hollywood house, Carlos, I'd likely be a better dancer, neater, and a better dresser. My marriage would be affected because all those things would take away my rights to occasional slackerdom. I'll take my money in small bills, please.
That's right. He's a better gardener, I have to admit. His garden is weedless. I lost. I didn't think about the positive effects. Shoot.
Without a whacker.
Oh, well. I'll sign it to my name is Carlos Jim Ward.
CarlosSellsRocky.com.
Yes, and I'll be at the Ice House this weekend with Jim Mike Pace and Kirill Sultanovich and Jose Sordui and one other comic who's fantastic. It's Timon Ship this weekend at the Ice House.
All right. Yay. We love you, Carlos. See you tomorrow.